and welcome to this sixth episode of our Secrets to Great Partnerships series. Sitting across from me is Alon Ray, CEO of Race Corp, and I'm Gareth Armstrong. Alon, we've spoken a lot about partnerships up to this particular point. Today, we're speaking about partnerships during a time of scale. I don't want us to talk about the partnership just yet. Let's get everyone on the same page when it comes to scale. From your experience, what is scale really at its core? What is scale?
I'm going to give you a politician's answer. It depends. It depends which country you're in. It depends what industry you're in. It depends on a lot of things. But the essence of scale is growth and big growth, not organic growth, i.e. not 5 or 8% annual growth year on year. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not considered scale. Scale is high growth.
It's rapid growth.
Rapid, high growth. There's a great book by Reid Hoffman called Blitz Scaling. He calls it Blitz, as in very, very fast. And the idea of being very fast means that things change quite rapidly. And that in a context of scale where there's changes in complexity in the business happening all the time, and therefore the structure of the business is changing quite rapidly as well. And therefore, coming to today's topic, which is how do we operate as partners in that context?
Thank you. That's a lovely way to describe what scale is. But you used the word growth, rapid growth. Can we just go a little bit deeper? What is rapid growth in a business? What does that actually look like? Is it multiple clients coming on board? Is it employing 100 people within 2 months? What are we actually talking about when we say growth?
Same politician's answer. It depends. So it could be a context where you've got many, many clients with a small staff environment. So your staffing might increase incrementally, but the number of clients increases exponentially. You could have a context where the number of staff increases exponentially as well. So it's not really about where the growth takes place. It's about the fact that there's rapid growth in part of the business, and it generally is attributed to revenue. Very often, it's not attributed to the bottom line, unfortunately. That goes through the valley of death, through a huge downturn before it goes through an upturn, which is another kind of pressure that is put onto the partnership at that time. But this is about exponential growth. It's not just about organic growth.
So let's then go to an example that you've perhaps seen, and then we can talk about some of the other details. What is the first example that comes to mind specifically around a partnership that was under severe strain because of scale?
Well, I can give you my example in terms of Race Corp. Between 2008 and 2012, we were growing at over 300% per annum year on year. But that's, in relative terms, not massive scaling, but 300% year on year. That means if we were doing 10 million whatever this year, we were doing 30 million the next year, and then we were doing 90 million the year after. You know, it's 3x, 3x, 3x. So it's still exponential. And so what happens when you are tripling the size of your business every year, it's creating all sorts of pressure points in the business, and particularly in areas you've never even considered. And I think that's sort of the clue to the essence of this podcast, is that what happens in a partnership where there's an area in the business that we didn't even consider to be a problem, or even an area that became an area. And then now who gets to the responsibility for that? And very often that comes with other people and maybe management that comes in to support that area, and neither of you are experts in that area that needs attention. I remember in a friend of mine's business who was also undergoing a scale, they had a business that had a massive online retail environment. And when it was small, they didn't even consider fraud as a thing. But as they became bigger and bigger, and they became a target for these syndicates, and so there had to be this massive sophistication around anti-fraud. Neither of them knew anything about anti-fraud or systems to prevent or to identify fraud. And so now you have to bring in a huge function into the business. And so who's that person going to report to? Is it the partner responsible for operations? Is it the partner responsible for sales? Who gets to manage and lead this individual? And so this individual comes in and is an expert in that field, and neither of the partners can actually have a decent conversation with him at an intricate level. They can speak at a high level, but not at the technical level of what was going on. And so now one partner takes on this role to manage this individual, and problems persist. So now you've got a tension between the partners, because you're responsible as the partner for looking after that technical part of the business through another individual. And it's not working. We're losing millions.
Is that what happened with your colleague?
Yeah, this is exactly what happened with him and his partner. And now there's tension between the two. Now, prior to scale, there wasn't that kind of tension at all. But this thing called fraud, online fraud,
blindsided them
and became the thing, the thorn in the side of their partnership, because neither of them had the technical ability, and the person who took on the responsibility wasn't now performing as a partner. So that's a very nuanced story, but that's actually quite a common story, just with different content in many, many partnerships as they scale.
I love the visual language of the thorn in the side. It's not a betrayal. It's not a Brutus moment with Caesar, but it's a thorn that blindsides you, and you're not equipped, or you're at least not ready for that kind of thing to happen. But this is what we're now talking about. How to get ready.
Correct. And they didn't even know that they had to have the conversation, but had they perhaps been ready for the fact that there would be all these unknowns, and they had already discussed as partners how to deal with those unknowns as partners and how to deal with each other's incompetence now in those spaces. That is an important conversation. And prior to this, throughout this podcast series, we've been talking about domain expertise. And now during scaling, you have the opposite happening. You have this complete...
It's a vacuum.
Vacuum of knowledge that you still have to take responsibility for at some level. So how do you deal with that with one another?
And how do you do it?
I thought you'd ask that. That's a good question. Thanks for asking. The way to deal with that is to actually expect the unknowns to happen, or these areas where you're deficient of knowledge. And then have a protocol between the two partners on how to deal with that. So as the business scales, you're going to take on some responsibilities in areas that you have no domain experience. The same is going to happen with me. If we both are kind to one another, and the protocol is that, okay, we're taking responsibility, but because there's no one else right now to do that, and we will support each other in ensuring that, A, we get up to speed with the technical language at least. We never have to be the expert in all these areas. We need to have some way to understand those areas. You cannot have an online retail business and not have an understanding about how to deal with online fraud and syndicates. You just can't. So there's a level of responsibility around, if you are the partner, that you now take on the mantle of learning about that.
But in a protocoled way. And what I love about protocols is that there's a certain process that is applied, and it should be automatic. I mean, if we can all think back in school, we did a fire drill. It's a protocol.
Yeah.
It's something that happens. You know, 3 rings of the bell, you drop, you get under the desk. 4 rings of the bell, you're heading out the door because you've got a fire that you need to get away from. So in this instance, what you're talking about is a very specific process. Or how specific does it have to be?
I don't think it has to be that specific. I think it just has to be a general protocol. And the general protocol really is, first of all, okay, it's your turn. You know, that identifying that it's you, okay. And that's okay. And number two, I suppose, allied to that is to be kind around that. And maybe a little compassionate about that.
Yeah, be generous in the approach.
In that. And then the third area is, okay, now it's to close the gap around the language. So it's your responsibility to close the gap around the language. if it falls under you. So that's the expectation, is you close the gap around language. The next thing is how to get the reporting out. The reporting is very important, that the reporting, I love reporting in the sense that it becomes the essence, the kernel of what you're trying to communicate. If you've got good reporting, especially if it's a graphical report, it tells you that we've had 20% fraud this month, and next month it was 18%. So I can start to see that in a visual way. I can start to see trends, etc. So to move very quickly to a visual representation of the language and what's going underneath is important, but at our level, I want to see fraud is coming down or fraud is going up, or this is the cost of managing fraud. That's what you're trying to do at the level of a partnership. You're not trying to work out that we're using this software with these features and benefits, and we chose that over the other software with those features and benefits because of X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. The partner who's responsible might need to know that, but the other partner doesn't need to know that. The other partner needs to know we've gone from 20% to 18 to 16. Yeah. We're on track or we're not on track, whatever the case may be. That's what we need to know. But you would take responsibility for getting it to the point where I understand. And that to me is the what happens across many areas in the business in a very rapid way because of the exponential growth in the business. Just coming back to the reporting, why the reporting is so important is because you keep getting it down to the essence of how to manage that new area.
Mm. Yeah, what metrics matter?
Beautifully said, what metrics matter?
Maybe it's an aside, maybe it isn't, but just for a moment, you know, as one gets more mature in their careers and as they continue to learn and to grow, you see just how important some of the soft stuff is. Someone might have heard you say, you need to be kind.
Hmm.
And they think that's underrated. Let's just get to the metrics and let's deal with the problem. But it feels like there's something important there.
What happens in partnerships when businesses scale is that very often the partners are deer in headlights all the time because of these new areas that they are dealing with that they have no domain expertise in. And so this kindness is around both understanding that we're both sitting in a place of incompetence. And to sit in a place of incompetence while trying to be a leader in a business where you're trying to portray that you're a confident leader is a very difficult thing to manage. Now, if your partner is coming at you at the same time while you're trying to manage almost a place of imposter syndrome, or perhaps it's not almost a place of imposter syndrome, that makes it very difficult to maintain. And so I might just lash out at you if you keep coming at me because of my lack of knowledge of the space. So coming back to the protocol, if you're kind to me and I say, listen, Gareth, when I say kind, let's just maybe explain what that means. It doesn't mean that you come and give me a hug and say, you got it. You know, you go, you've got this. You know, that's very cliched stuff. That's not what I mean about being kind. I think it's about, okay, right, we have identified it. Hey, Alan, I'm sorry it's you. Let's move to the domain expertise in terms of the language and then to the reporting. How's it going? Without that level of pressure in that regard. I do the same with you. We're both fumbling through this as we're growing, but we're not fumbling through one domain. We're fumbling through multiple domains each. Now, if we become critical of one another, that's the seed of the end of our partnership. So to me, it's about the empathy of the other person's situation. And if you've got a strong partnership and you trust the other person is hardworking and is going to solve this problem over time and will evolve into this, then the partnership will survive. If there's a trust issue now that I think Gareth is not actually doesn't care, is not going to do the work that is required, is not going to get to the point of domain, I don't say expertise, but even just domain understanding, then we've got a problem in our partnership.
Mm. And what happens next time? What happens when there's bigger pressure? Is he going to, you know, come at me again? Is it going to be? And I can see how it can just spiral out of control and downward as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got an understanding that we need a protocol, and I think we've got quite a good amount of detail there. And it's also going to be driven by context and the business that you're in and, you know, the politician's answer that you gave earlier. So there are factors there. But what else?
The other area to consider in your partnership is the asymmetry of your fiefdom. Right now, you and I are in a partnership. There are six people in the business. Two of them report to me, two of them report to you, and the other two are you and I. It's quite symmetrical. And that generally comes to how many reports we have reporting into us and what's the downline and how many people report to them and so on. So in my downline, there might be 20 people into the future, and in yours, there'd be 18. And that feels fair.
Mm.
But what happens in businesses that are rapidly scaling is that symmetry disappears. The business has certain pressures, and because, for example, it might be in a highly operational period right now, there might be a massive growth in the operational capacity in the business. And so that if that fell underneath me, my domain, my fiefdom, so to speak, my downline becomes much bigger than yours. And that can create two things. It might make me feel way more important than I should, because look how many people report to me. Or it might make me feel bitter that look how many people report to me. I've got so much responsibility and only 12 people report to you, and I've got 100 reporting to me. And I see both those play out in partnerships where there is a lack of understanding that that's a natural part of growth. And at another stage, for example, perhaps if you have the sales side attributed to you as the businesses grow, then the sales side of the business might pick up at a later phase, and then it will now fall under you. So your downline, your fiefdom, so to speak, will now increase. And that doesn't happen in a rhythmic way, it doesn't happen in a symmetrical way, it just happens. And so you have to sort of keep each other aware of the fact that this is just the way it is, this is the way it's rolling out. It's not about power and it's not about responsibility, it's about how we set up the business up front. And the way to move out of that is to try and find ways to cleave off pieces or branches of your fiefdom into other managers, and then keep looking at the structure of that. What happens very often at a later stage in the business growth, especially if the business isn't going to list or to IPO, is you start bringing in other directors into the business. They might or might not be shareholders, i.e. not partners. So if they're not partners, then they might be directors with a director's title and an upside and all sorts of incentives in place. And they would then take responsibility for branches that were previously under the two of our domains.
Just on that note, is there a particular number that you would say is too much, too many people reporting into you? Is there a limit?
The general rule of thumb is around 7 to 8 people is the maximum that you can handle in terms of reports. The number can go up as high as 20, depending on the pressure of those reports and how often you have to meet with them. I wouldn't say that's healthy. And so as the business grows, you're trying to keep the number of reports lower than 8 all the time. And so every time you get to a point where you might be at 14 reports, you then look to cleave that off. That's a signal to cleave it off. But it's not that mechanical. It's not that when I get to 9, therefore I cleave off. You still need to be organic and pragmatic in that decision making at when is the right time to hand this over to somebody else.
So we've got our protocol. We've now got a very big warning, red light warning from you that there's going to be asymmetry, and we need to be able to manage that in multiple ways, from partnerships and ego all the way through to the nitty-gritty, the functions or the functional side of it all. Is there anything else that we need to be looking out for?
The last place I think that is critical to be aware of is that communication becomes more and more difficult as the business scales. I've got so many domains that fall under me. You have so many domains that fall under you. When we were a small business, I knew everything that you were doing and vice versa. Now I have to synthesize that to what's important that you know and what's important that I know. We don't need to know everything that each other are doing and all the decisions that we're making in each other's respective domains. And that becomes difficult because in the moment that you're not giving me information, you know, you're making the decision not to give me that information. And it's a hard decision what to share with me and what not to share with me. What do I need to know and what don't I need to know? And the way through that is once again through communication. It's for us to then to say, ask each other, do you need to know that information or how much do you need to know in that space? And it's this maturity of just basically over time eliminating more and more information that falls under your domain and only bringing the salient or important points to our meetings between one another that we have that discussion. And therefore, these concepts, these boring, gray board meetings, etc., they seem so old-fashioned. But actually, if they run properly, they become very important meetings because if your board meeting, if your board pack, so to speak, is structured in the right way, it forces you to communicate those areas in each other's domain. So as an example, if legal is falling under you, if there is a section in the board pack that says legal matters, then that's where you highlight the legal matters. But I'm effectively communicating in our relationship that I need that information at the board meeting. And then the next level below that is, do I need to know that in our weekly meeting or our monthly meeting? And the answer might be no. Once a quarter in our board meeting might be sufficient for me to know that. So it's not just what we are sharing and what we're not sharing. It's how often we're sharing stuff with one another. And as the business starts to scale and there's more and more information, that's quite a messy journey to get to a point where we are transferring the right information at the right frequency to one another to remain good partners and to ensure that we are getting the right perspectives from one another. And that is a very important statement that I'm making, because what partnership really is about, hey, Gareth, I'm feeling that we should go left here for these reasons. What do you think? And then you give me a different perspective and I go, I never thought of that. Okay, maybe we should go right in this instance because I didn't actually think of that.
And you couldn't have thought that if you were sharing all the information and the same perspective all the time.
Correct. So now I have to, as we're growing, that kind of perspective, there's a certain level of what perspective do I need from you as a partner? And actually, what perspective do I need from the people that report into me? That's also a difficult consideration as to, now I don't come to you anymore for perspective around this. I go to the head of department, so what do you think and what do you think and what do you think? And I never come to Gareth for that perspective. So there's the shift of where the perspective, my perspective as a partner is going to come from as the business scales. And that has to happen because I can't come to you for every single decision to get perspective. I cannot, and vice versa, you can't. And so we have to work out which are the important parts in our decision-making that we need each other's perspective.
What I'm struck by as you're speaking is just how much structure is needed to give you the outlines. And then you can color in and you can figure it out on the inside of these lines, but you have to put those lines in place. It just feels like it's structured. It feels like it's purposeful. It feels like it's been well thought out.
I would modify that statement slightly. I think it's about your expectations. I think it's about that kindness, and the kindness comes to the fuzziness on this journey because you don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. You just know it's going to happen.
And this is where you suddenly find yourself coloring outside of the lines.
Yeah. Correct. In the line metaphor, yes. You're colouring outside of the lines and then inside of the lines, and it's never going to be a beautiful picture. But there is this understanding and respect for this journey with one another that we've got certain responsibilities in how we are going to grow together, and that it can't be the same. And I think maybe to end off this podcast, the thinking is that if your expectation is that your partnership will be the same as it was when there were the three of you, us two and one of our employees all in the garage, to when we're a massive organization and we're going to have the same type of relationship that we had then, I think that's quite naive. We have to evolve as human beings. We have to evolve as leaders. The Gareth I knew when we were in the garage together, and the Gareth today with 500 staff and a multinational organization, has to be a different Gareth. I expect you to be a different Gareth, and Gareth, as my partner, would expect me to be a different Alon, because we've evolved as human beings, we've evolved as leaders, we've evolved as managers over time.
But it feels like the one thing that can remain consistent is that you are kind
and respectful of each other, and that we both trust that each other are doing the best that they can in their domains. And that is, in my particular partnership with my partner in Race Corp, that has been our journey. We've got a relatively large business compared to when we started more than 20 years ago, and we're not the same people, but we've evolved, and it's completely asymmetrical. And, you know, there's certain years where he will take on way more responsibility than I will in certain domains, and vice versa. But that's okay. It's an ebb and flow. And we just move with each other through that, and we dance through our partnership as it grows.
And that's the voice of Alon Reyes, CEO of Reyes Corp. And this is the penultimate episode in our 7 Secrets to Great Partnerships series. I'm Gareth Armstrong, and we'll see you next time in the final episode.